Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Atragon.
Atragon, 1963.
Yeah, sure, Honda.
Back to our roots.
Okay, here's the deal. We're excited to see the Manda movie, and he doesn't show up for a while.
No.
In fact,
I made a note. I go, this must be like the Daimajin of Ashira Honda movies.
So we watched, remember when we watched Mysterians, you had Mogera, but he was like front loaded and then he never showed up. So this is like the opposite. So I guess I'd rather have a dude at the end. But even that being said, there's something about Ashira Honda's movies. As soon as you turn them on, you know it's his movie. And it makes me happy.
The very beginning of this movie. I just want to go over a quick play-by-play of just the first minute.
Okay. Because I sent you a text message about it.
Yeah. Said like, man, I just saw like, you said something like, I just saw like the first 5 minutes and it's really, but I mean, I was like looking at this beginning and I was like, and then I looked at like the time thing and I go, this is just like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's like car driving, car swerving, and the guy starts being like, what's going on here? And he puts his hand on the driver. And first of all, at this point, we recognize the driver.
Yeah.
It's old Oxygen Eater guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like his hand burns. He burns himself on putting the guy's shoulder. Uh-huh. Cut to guy with an eye patch shooting a gun, getting his picture taken. Uh-huh. And then these two guys are photographers, and then the other girl was a model in a bikini, and then out of nowhere, something surfaces from the water. Is it a person in a scuba suit? Is it supposed to be a monster that looks like he's in a scuba suit?
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
I don't know.
I couldn't quite see it, and I was like, is that a giant sucker on his face? Like, it reminded me of that He-Man character, Leech, which is just a big sucker on its face, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no, that looks like a... It looks like a scuba diver mask, and I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, it's like, are those supposed to be flippers? Is this supposed to be scales? But then they hit him with the flash, and he falls back in the water. Uh-huh. And then that car, remember that car we just saw a few seconds ago, goes careening past them and just crashes into the water.
Yeah. I thought it kept driving under the water. But I don't think it's
No, it goes off like whatever the dock.
For me, it looked like it was driving in the bottom of the ocean. But I think that was just me. I couldn't tell.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
I think the movie is great, but doesn't live up to that first 2 minutes.
No, you're probably.
Yeah. And I don't, I may be giving it a great, but it's, there's stuff in here that I absolutely loved. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff that's just kind of like, maybe if this movie was like an hour or maybe 45 minutes, it would be great.
I love that these movies have like this returning ensemble.
Yeah.
I love recognizing people from the other movies. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of makes it like, oh, cool. The gang's back.
It's a troupe. It's like a theater troupe.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So this movie has these hot ocean people.
They call them steaming man.
Like temperature hot ocean people. People who generate very hot heat somehow.
Yeah. Well...
I like that they were taking pictures for something called Action Magazine.
I know. I wouldn't mind subscribing. It seemed like those guys were having fun. And it's crazy how those guys get kind of taken along on this adventure.
Like caught up in the whole thing.
Yeah, they're like, totally. They're like accepted as, you know.
We're just guys. Yeah, yeah. It's because they're the only guys who've witnessed the scuba dude.
Steaming man. Yeah. Okay, so there's the bearded guy, right?
Yes.
And he's walking around with his coat and he's constantly like covered up. And I'm like, okay, clearly this guy is hiding something and he's very strange. And I'm like, he's probably one of these guys from the ocean. But it takes way too long for us to get that reveal. But he's driving a car and hanging from his mirror looks like some sort of a, like a Godzilla toy or something. Did you see that? He has like a monster hanging from his rearview mirror in his car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was like, it looked like a little toy and I wanted it, but I didn't know that was a thing. And I always feel weird when you have like some sort of monster memorabilia in a movie where
in
monsters
a monster
exist.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the kid playing with the Godzilla toys on the slot.
Or like DC, like, the DC animated movies a lot, like we'll have like kids wearing Batman shirts and stuff. And it's like weird because it's in universe, but yeah, it's strange to me. The Moo Empire.
Yeah. So I guess this is the start of. This is the first one that probably referenced the Toho movies because they get referenced in other movies. I think he was referenced in. The Jet Jaguar movie.
Yeah, Megalon.
Yeah. And there was another one we saw recently. I thought they were talking about Moo.
I think so, too. What I like about Moo is I'm like, oh, that's a weird name, but it's probably in the translation. But no, it's spelled in English every time. I like the they send the scientist a reel, like a movie. Like a orientation reel, like this is who
the
we
package?
Are. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and
the package. Oh, look about the package. The guy's like, wait, it might be a bomb. Let me open it.
Yeah. And the rest of them
everyone
stare.
Just hang out.
Yeah.
Everyone stay close, though.
But, and it says like Moo on that silver box, which is kind of a cool box. But in the video or the film, in big giant letters, like a big bold font just says Moo.
Is Moo?
I thought it was the city or the civilization.
Right.
It's like the Jawas. It's like, I don't know, the Greeks. It's the Moo. That's what I thought it was. Is it the guy?
No, it's the Lost Continent.
Uh-huh.
And it's... Like, I think the reason that Moo is I feel like it's the Pacific Ocean's Atlantis, right?
Oh, okay.
And I think that because of where Japan is, because like they show it how it's like it's right by like where Australia is and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, and so my thought was that, you know, because America is more, you know, has a stronger Western European influence, our myths are more focused on Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And then and I wonder if the Japanese talk more about Mu,
huh,
in as far as that type of mythology.
Yeah. Their civilization definitely looked Egyptian.
Definitely had, like when Agent 23 shows up again in Egyptian garb.
Yeah.
And it's always like funny to see someone in what looks like a primitive outfit being referred to as an agent.
Yeah.
But I was like at one point I was like, huh, interesting. The people of Moo who have both used spear and laser technology.
Yeah. Yeah, they have these giant machinery, like things that pull energy from the ocean. But yeah, they still wore like skirts and headdresses. And
Speaking of, like, when you first get introduced, the Agent 23 basically introduces himself. Uh-huh. And then the whole thing with, like, the other agents that pop up out of the water. Uh-huh. Like, they don't really do anything. Like, at first, it looks like it's dolls, I think. And then there's other shots where they're moving. But it made me kind of wonder if that first one was them or dolls. But, yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, look at all these people I got. But it didn't matter.
Yeah, and then he was touting that, or he was just like talking about how, like, oh, I'm this, you know, we have these special energies. And he grabs the wrench from the dude and makes it glow
red,
like,
hot.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Because it kind of just went real quick, like a flash. So I'm like, oh, that's a weird thing. He just makes a few
flashy things. The same thing with the beardy guy and his electric hands.
Oh yeah, that's great.
It's a quick purple flash, and they like knocks him out. Yeah, I loved, like, again, yeah, when they're watching that film, the shot of Moo City.
Yeah,
like it's so great.
Going through the model.
The model stuff in this is so good.
There's one model thing I had a question about. Okay. It happens later on. We get some shots of some stock footage from around the world. There's one that's Russia, and it's not stock footage. It looks like a model shot of Russia.
I go, is that supposed to be Russia?
I thought it was, but it was weird that it was a model shot.
The buildings were red. Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Well, clearly that's going to be a place that gets destroyed later, but doesn't really happen.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know what the deal with that was. Like, they took it from a different movie or something where they were looking, like, scrounging up stock footage, and they just found a model of Russia. I don't know. But that weirded me. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think there was a mix. Yeah, there was a mix of, like, it's like it they had the footage of the place. They used it, you know, and they made up. I think there might have been another one that might have been a model too. I think, but they just kind of, like, because I was like, all right, that doesn't, because it's also, like, they used a lot of, like, just like scenery paintings in a lot of shots too. They just like kind of like, this is just a picture of something, and then we cut to this is what's going on inside there.
Yeah.
The submarine model. The submarine crew, I think they're supposed to be American, but
their accents looks like
they
had
some European
off.
Accents.
Yeah. Yeah, that submarine, the Red Satan.
Red Satan.
Subtle. Not subtle at all.
The Red Satan, it was a pretty good effect when the thing implodes from all the water pressure.
I loved it. I loved that. I thought that was cool. Yeah, I have three notes. American submarine, Red Satan, weird American accents, and collapsing sub.
Yeah, and yeah.
But before that, we get a quick shot of the satellite from...
Oh, yeah, the space station
Kong,
thing.
Kong versus Godzilla, yeah. And then that boat attack where those, like, things popped up out of the water. Those lit, like, little, like, dome things.
Right.
And they're, like, steaming, and then they came in close and, like, blew up that ship. A lot of good model work in this.
The Pan Am plane model was great.
Yeah, for no reason. Like, I'm sure you can go out and get stock footage of that, but, I mean, that was great. I guess I'm fine with models. I don't know why I would complain.
I love them. I love them.
Yeah, there's some shots where there's shots of the city and there's cars driving, and I don't know if it's the framing, but some of them look like model fire trucks and stuff.
Some of them were, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There's one of those shots I liked a lot. Was it a fire truck?
Like the two motorcycles. There's one where there's like a truck and then like two motorcycles following.
It was like reminiscent of that car model on that pier in another movie. It was like the car's running away and like Godzilla's like walking after it or something like that. It was kind of like that. Like just great models and little, like, you know, whatever remote control or so. There's that part on the boat when they all go inside. What happened? Did we not finish that thought?
No, I just looked up. No. No, go ahead.
When they all go inside and I don't know how we're just going to keep referring to him as the beard guy. Oh, I was calling him like Beatnik Reporter.
Yeah, his beard. I mean, his beard was so pronounced.
Where he then drops. He has this like ping pong ball looking thing in his hand.
Oh, yeah. He dropped it in the water.
And he drops in the water. And then it cuts to the Moo submarine.
Uh-huh.
And this kind of flashing ball thing floating downward. Yeah. And I was like, are we supposed to think that little thing is that thing?
Yeah.
He's
I assumed it. I assumed it grew. I thought it was some sort of signal.
Boat. Just that guy in the boat with the gray afro.
I don't remember
that
him.
That one weird crew guy. He's just sitting there. He's just like a background guy. I wasn't sure. I was like, is that his real hair? Did they put this? Did they use this as a wig? Is he supposed to be just dirty, or did they?
Well, that's the thing.
Dark.
They get to the island, and one of the lines is, "I hope the natives are friendly." And I
makes you nervous.
That's the note I saw where it's like, "Oh, I forgot." It's 1963. I know things really didn't get better with these movies, later on, but still, this is like, oh no, this is kind of early on. But I think we're safe.
You hadn't seen this movie before, right?
No, I've never.
That's great.
I had no idea.
New territory for both of us.
Yeah. The Manda stuff disappointed me because that's what we were looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But the Atragon stuff, I loved.
Yeah, I was sitting there going like, I was like, they're like, I'm gonna make this movie. It's gonna be called Manda the Sea Serpent. It's going to be great. And then they watched the movie like going, we're calling it Atragon.
Atragon looked like Mogera, but a submarine. Like it had kind of the saw blades and the drill.
The drill bit. Yeah. All those drill bit had like this thrusty end at the very front, which is also where they could shoot the that special zero ray thing.
Yeah.
That the zero cannon.
It was what's great is so like it's set up that this is an underwater city, and Manda lives underwater, and there's all this stuff, and I'm like, cool, Atragon's a submarine, perfect thing to fight, and they fire up Atragon, and the first thing it does is fly, and I was like, what is happening? This Atragon thing is the greatest thing ever. And I love that it has so many, like, it's got the drill, it's got the sort of powdery gun in the front, but it can, like, drill through solid rock and drill through, like, a steel door. It's, like, badass. And
I like the way they did the drilling and how like the stones that were getting drilled were getting shot out through like a hole,
like a rock
the
exhaust.
Holes in the back was cool.
Yeah.
They also tried to make it look really big in the blue screen effect where you see all like the crew guys on top going inside it.
There's one point where it's like the dock, the underwater dock kind of implodes. And some beams fall on top of Atragon. And I'm like, okay. He's like, go remove the beams. And I was like, oh, they need to get Atragon out. They weren't removing the beams to get Atragon out because it's so powerful. They're just removing the beams so they can get inside the hatch. And I love that Atragon was like this indestructible thing. Like it didn't matter that all the rocks and beams fell on it. It only mattered that it was blocking the door for them to get in. And once they got in, it just like, we don't even care that there's a steel door here. It can go through anything. It was, I love the sort of, that sort of indestructible like quality of it.
So I liked, so like the whole thing is like the Moo people get introduced. They're kind of like, the Planet Zero people, you know, it's like, listen, we're coming here. We're going to take over.
Yeah.
And you guys are just going to have to accept it. And, but then they go like, oh, and by the way, tell this guy to stop working on this underwater battleship.
Yeah.
It's like they're very confident, but they're kind of scared of this battleship.
Yeah. Oh God, I loved it. I loved it so much. The disgraced captain of Atragon reminded me of
Captain Jinguchi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There, he made a couple of faces that reminded me of Tracy Morgan. I even took like a screenshot just because I was like, oh, he kind of making a Tracy Morgan face. I should find that and send that to you. But his storyline was cool. He kind of left in disgrace, and he left his 3-year-old daughter in the care of another captain. That's kind of where the bulk of the middle of the movie, you know, that's kind of what that storyline is. And she's so excited to be able to see him again. And when he shows up, he's reintroduced to her, and he doesn't care at all. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of a dick move. This guy's kind of a jerk. And then that's kind of the point. And then, you know, he comes around. But it felt a little like filler. Like, that's a storyline that we didn't need because we just want to see Atragon versus Manda. So by having this kind of storyline, we're just waiting for it. But, I mean, you mentioned on the Jaws episode, like, you know, that you want to care about the people in the movie. So it's like,
but it feels so forced in these movies.
Yeah.
He's definitely kind of like this kind of this Kurtz-like character, and this how he's been like is still fighting a war that's been over 20 years.
And his I didn't follow his logic really. He left in disgrace, and then he's starting to build Atragon, but he doesn't want to go back and fight, even though it's supposed to help people.
Yeah, it was that he would do it for Japan only. He wouldn't let Atragon save the world or save the West or who knows what. It was like, oh no, my duty is only to, you know, serve Japan and its wars.
Yeah.
That model shot, that it was a police car. It was a little toy police car going through the mall city.
Yeah.
There's interesting. They also the Moo people. They have these kind of like weird UFO looking missiles that they sent out.
Yeah, I didn't know what those were. I thought they were UFOs.
But it turns out they were smaller, and then they just started blowing stuff up.
Yeah. So did you notice? So I couldn't tell if this is what happened or not. So the submarine crew of the Red Satan, the Red Satan collapsed, but it looked like later on the crew was slaves. Were they slaves in Moo? Some of the guys look familiar. Like there was the Empress, there was the old guy, the Emperor, but to either side of the Empress there was like a row of white guys. And
there are a lot of white people in this group. There's that one guy who had kind of like this weird Prince Valiant wig on.
Yeah.
And he always had this face like, I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
Kind of face going on. It was like, I was like, who's that guy in the Moo Panacross?
Yeah. So there's something that happens around this time that will now make me, I'm pretty sure, remember which one is Manda. And that's the Manda song. Mm-hmm. There's a big old production with like hundreds and hundreds of extras and cast and dancers and stuff singing a Manda song. And so now I know who Manda is, and I think I'm good. I don't think I'll get him mixed up with Kamunga and Kamakaris. So I think we're good. So I think that this is the last time you'll hear me confused.
What do you think about the introduction of Manda where they're like, oh, yeah, just look inside this door.
Just open this door.
And they open this like, door. And the door is just like scales. And then his face comes. Shows
I
up.
Like the scales. I thought that was scales kind was of kind interesting. Of funny.
It was kind of like the submarine ride.
Yeah, it was like an interesting, like, I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But then his kind of goofy face popped into frame, and I'm like, it's not that scary.
Yeah, we're not even at the part where you see his whole body.
Yeah.
There, the when the moos destroy that city, and the it's this oh. beautiful set, oh. these beautiful models, and the whole thing just collapses downward.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was so joyous to see that level of destruction on such intricate model just work.
Everything at once.
I've just gone.
See, that's the thing. It's like I'm saying, like, there's stuff in this movie that's like some of my favorite things. Like, I've never, like, we love model destruction. We love watching things break down, you know, model buildings. But to see them all just like completely collapse at once, like, that's, you can't do another take of that. And no. It just looks so cool.
It was so good. And then and then also I like the when the submarine has got that dragon gun, dragon shaped laser ray,
yeah,
and it just destroys all the whole fleet of ships. It's like, it was like Game of Thrones, just like all the boats on fire.
And that's what's great about Atragon, the submarine, is that because it's indestructible, you're like, okay, there's a little bit of hope that it could take on all of this crazy stuff. And it's so good. Like I guarantee you there's models of it, and there's probably models of it with Manda wrapped around it. But it just like that would be so cool to have. Maybe if Manda didn't look so goofy, but
so our heroes are they've been captured and then they do this. The Empress comes to talk to them, which is probably foolish because they're really able to turn the tables and grab her as a hostage, like very little to no effort.
Yeah.
And so then they go to where they're going to. Oh, and then they're like, we need to switch clothes with some of you guys. And then they go to like wherever the suits are so they can make their escape. Mm-hmm. And the two guys are dressed up like Moo guys. And it's like they're just there to what? Were they just kind of like to walk through the halls and act like they're moving prisoners around? Because I was like going, it was kind of an odd – because it's just a moment. There you go. Although that's what those are the clothes that they took.
Yeah.
And while they're in there, she's like the Empress is sitting there, and then she's like secretly reaches over and she pushes the release Manda button,
which is crazy that it's just sitting out there in the open. Like it's I feel like the Manda button should be two keys that two different people.
It's very responsible.
Like do in sequence and they're both locked away and you have to have like launch codes. It's like literally in a room, like at butt level where if like anyone like leaned up against the wall would hit that button.
And there's two other buttons right next to it, which we don't know what they do.
No, they're not labeled.
Well, one is like the close the door on Manda one and the maintenance, who knows, but yeah, it's like they're so close to each other they can easily be bumped when you're reaching for the other one.
Yeah, hopefully maybe the other one is like a cancel button because it's so easy to push the one that you get some time to cancel out your request to release Manda.
So then Manda comes out and we're like, oh, ooh. And I'm looking at it going, is Manda teeny?
Yeah.
Like, is the model, is the puppet Manda, is it tiny?
When we talked about Manda once, you mentioned those like kind of like foam lizards that you get at the fair, like a foam lizard on a stick.
Yeah, that like you walk.
Yeah, and he kind of moved like that. So I'm like, okay, he definitely looks like one of those. So I think he might be tiny like one of those. Like, there was no real shot that led me to believe they had a giant Manda.
Yeah, at this, like, when you see Manda in action, when you see full body man in action, I'm like, looking at it, it's like,
It doesn't help.
I guess this is why they didn't call it Manda.
It doesn't help that he moves really fast. He kind of, like, quick and jerky motions. Like, if you wanted to have more
it's
weight.
It's just like a puppet on a string.
Yeah.
So all the underwater stuff is somehow, like, shot through something or shot like a filter. It's just, for the most of it, it's like none of it actually takes place underwater, it seems like, right?
There was the shot where they shoot at Manda, and there's like a like an explosion underwater that kind of looked like real underwater, the way that the sort of black cloud moved underneath. But
Manda is basically like if just one of King Ghidorah's heads,
yeah,
existed
and had feet, tiny feet. That was my favorite thing though, when Manda was wrapped around Atragon and had a little his little tiny claws holding yeah, on that, to the side
his,
of the submarine.
That's his shining moment. That's probably yeah. Going, oh, we'll get Manda to wrap himself around this freeway. And
that's the action figure.
Manda's thing is he wraps around shit. Yeah. The Zero gun, and it's basically just a fire extinguisher.
Oh, yeah, but those guys were awesome. The dudes in the white suits that, like, infiltrated, like, that reminded me of the Mysterians when they just had a group of guys going with guns to the Mysterians ship. This group of guys is these little like the white suits with the like frogman suits with the backpacks with the fire extinguishers. They just roll in and just start taking out Moo people. It was
yeah.
I liked that a lot. Those guys were cool.
They freeze people into paintings.
Paintings of frozen.
Yeah, they're yeah. Like frozen. I'm a painting of a frozen guy.
Yeah. Okay, so I was looking at the Steaming Men because they come back, but the silver scaly
costume?
Shirt. Yeah,
cosplay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking too.
What do you think?
Yeah, I was the head... all you need is a scuba mask and put some grade on it, and I think you could probably just make the rest with a duct tape.
Yeah, it would all look like duct tape. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I could be a Steaming Man.
It's totally doable. I was thinking yeah. The same thing.
Like, it looks cheap in the movie, so getting it screen accurate would be pretty easy.
Yeah.
I liked them. I liked those guys a lot.
I called them silver creature suits.
Yeah.
So, okay, so when they're getting into the suits, and... Yeah. they got to talk the Empress into getting in the suit. And then she, like, pulls her top down.
Yeah.
And then later, they're out of their suits.
And she has her clothes on.
She's fully clothed.
Yeah.
And I was like, did they all got dressed to get into the suits but then brought their clothes? Or did she pull her top down like, no, we're just going to put them on over. What are you doing?
She just had her top around her waist maybe while she was in the suit. She likes the way the duct tape feels.
At one point after that moment, I had this idea of like somehow the Emperor's going to like change her mind and just kind of like go along with them. And they're going to next thing you'll see them, her being like their next model for Action Magazine.
Yeah. That's so crazy that they're just photographers for Action Magazine.
Oh, that's how they got involved with the guy's daughter too.
And yeah.
It's like they were tailing her because they just found their next model.
Yeah. And they took a picture of the car and tracked the license plate. And it's funny because I don't think like the deeper they get into it, they don't have their cameras anymore. So now they're just in it to be in it. Like you would think they would be snapping pictures the whole time because it would be a great scoop right. For Action Magazine, but
right, yeah, this is great action. Yeah,
yeah, it is great action.
So the last thing I have is, I mean, are you at the end?
I'm at the end.
Moo explodes. First of all, the smoke is red. They made the smoke red. It was cool.
Before that, Manda gets knocked off of the sub because they electrify the hull.
Yeah,
which is really cool. It's like the greatest submarine ever. And then they freeze Manda at the bottom of the ocean with the whatever that stuff is.
Which is good. It sets him up to return again, although we know that he doesn't really return again.
Yeah, is Destroy All Monsters the only other one? Where we get that really cool shot of him wrapping around the train tracks.
As far as movies go, I think that's it.
Yeah.
And so then she runs and jumps in the water, and she keeps swimming towards the exploding Moo. because she's gonna go down with the rest of her people. And there's this moment where Admiral Kasumi and Captain Jinguji share a look, and it kind of feel like Admiral's like, see that? That's what a deserter doesn't do. That's what not being a deserter is. Man. And it's like, this weird moment between them. I mean, I was probably putting more into it than it was, but I was like, that's how I read it. When they look at each other, he's like, going, look who's not a deserter.
Yeah. Really, a lot of time spent on that storyline, so I could see why you look into that.
It kept coming back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like, so the whole awkward stuff with his daughter and her being upset about it.
Yeah.
And the other guy defending her about it. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. It's. Yeah. It doesn't crack the top five.
No. But it has some of my favorite stuff in it.
If there was a top five of the first minute in a movie, it might.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe also Inframan would hit that top five.
It's. I'd say it's top five in the model stuff.
The model destruction, that when that city goes, I mean, I kind of wish we could see Manda take out that city.
Right.
But when the whole thing collapsed, I was like, oh, holy shit. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I can kind of picture what Manda.
These guys are badass.
Yeah. I can picture what Manda would do to the city because we've seen stuff like that before. But to see that just like collapse from underneath, say, wow, that's great. That's really great. Yeah. It doesn't break my top five, but it has that Ashira Honda feel that I just, it, there's something comforting about it. I don't know if it's the cinematography or if it's just the returning cast. But it has that like comforting feel.
Yeah, I think it's that 60s look.
It's the costumes, the cinematography, the music.
When it was cheap, it was cheap in a very great way. And when you could see what they invested the money in.
Like Matengo did, it was one of those things where you really don't get into it, the mushroom people, until like the very end. But there's something about the 60s Japanese like culture at the time, like you could just get a real weird kind of window into like the culture and stuff, like the like in Matengo. Was it a Matengo or is it Frankenstein Conquers the World, where it's like the dance parties and stuff. And teenagers and stuff. Like, there's just something of the way it feels and the way it looks is just like, you look at the sets and you know they're sets, but you're just like, oh, it just has like that look to it. Like the kind of like mint green walls, you know, and the, with the clock above the door and consoles with tons of buttons that are flashing.
Yeah.
Like the inside the bridge of Atragon actually didn't look that fantastical. Like there wasn't a lot of color inside. Like it was kind of just like a gray kind of stainless steel sort of look to it. It looked very no nonsense, which is I thought it was going to look a lot more like a Gamera movie interior where it's going to be like crazy flashing buttons and stuff, but it was pretty normal. But the Atragon, the outside of it looked crazy with like the yellow saw blade tips and the red paint job and stuff,
and just like the clean lines of like 50s and 60s sci-fi, you know, before sci-fi got gritty and like apocalyptic. It was just kind of, it was like, yeah, it was pretty clean, and
it's like atomic age.
Geometric shapes. Yeah,
it's got that like classic Tomorrowland look to it.
Totally,
the vehicles of the future.
Right,
but I guarantee you, if I go online and type in like Atragon model, there'll be like all sorts of them with like that you could build, or that they you can like just kind of get like completed like statues, or the ones versions with Manda wrapped around it. And I chances are I've seen it before, but the Atragon ship, I want to see a reappearance of that somehow.
I think it does, and I think the ship has a different name. When I was looking this up, you know, Wikizilla or Gojipedia, one of those two, they seem to be pretty interchangeable, but they listed it, like I was looking at like the things, because they always list like this is what monsters are in it, and this is what vehicles or you know, special weaponry and stuff are in it, and Atragon's not on that list, but they call it Gotango.
Yeah, there's a
and so it appears in a movie called War in Space.
Yes. Okay.
And
so
there's
I have
a
seen
Super
that.
Atragon. Oh no, Super Atragon is just a maybe that's another.
Oh. Atragon. Well, there. Yeah, I'm looking. I just did an image search for War in Space, Japan. Oh boy,
it's in Final Wars.
It is in Final Wars. Oh, I don't like that movie. Wait, Battle in Outer Space? War in Outer Space. There's definitely Atragon-looking ships. It's also... There's also a...
The War in Space. Great Planet War, 1977.
This isn't a sequel to Mysterians, is it?
No, that's... I don't think that's that's a different movie. I don't think this is a Mysterians movie.
This is great.
There's
like a boat, like a...
It's about a comet, it looks like. What? This is the plot of War in Space. The year is 1988. This movie is from 1977. Okay, this year is 1988. The Earth is recovering from a comet near miss, which released an electromagnetic wave that interfered with some of the Earth's technology. Pilot Koji Miyoshio of the JASDF returns home to Japan in response to this incident, only to find that there are much more worse matters to deal with the sudden arrival of the Messiah, 13 aliens, and their warships.
Oh, because I'm looking at the cover of it, and...
It kind of looks like a Shogun warrior ship.
Yeah, I'm sure this is something we can look at in the future. I don't know if there's any kaiju in it, but once again, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, I feel like this is like episode... What episode number is this? This is episode 66, and we've gone through so much. I think that the farther we go along, we can get into War in Space. I don't think that's a problem. I think it would be fun. I mean...
Holy crap. Okay. Atragon, a.k.a. Gotango, also appears in Godzilla Island.
Oh, that's
Japanese television show spinoff of the Godzilla franchise.
That's the one where it's like the toys, right? That's the one where it's
97 to 98.
That's the one where Jet Jaguar, they have the white one with the red cross on it.
Oh, is that what that's from?
I think so.
Oh, this is a full series. This is a 22-episode series. And everybody's in it. Holy crap. Everybody's in it.
Yeah.
Fake Godzilla. Damn. Oh, wow. Matango's in it.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Hang on.
Is this available? 10-minute episode?
Also, you know what else is... that appears in the series is the monster vending machine.
What?
The monster vending machine is a machine that dispenses monsters created by Toho.
Oh, like it's not in the show. It was a thing that you can.
I'm just basing this.
Oh, I see.
On the picture. It looks like it's a vending machine that floats in outer space, and you punch a button with a ship to buy a monster off of it.
Oh, wait. Is there a different Mecha King Ghidorah? Hyper Mecha King Ghidorah attack.
Hyper?
But it looks like all the heads are mechanical. Like, the whole thing's mechanical.
Oh, wow. And he only exists in the Godzilla Island. We're going to have to visit that island.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out. If it's like a series, boy.
We'll have to figure it out, yeah.
It'll have to be like where we just like bank a bunch of episodes and then binge it within that time period and just do one episode all about it.
Do the whole series?
Yeah.
See this list of monsters? You think we can do it all in one?
I don't know. I have no idea how we can do it. We could do like bonus episode series, like maybe release one a month or something. I don't know. I have no idea. I have to do some research.
We should just watch the first one and then decide.
Okay.
Because this will tell us, like, we're going to need to take some time on this one. Or what?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean...
It's from the 90s, from the late 90s.
But, I mean, I don't know if it's cheap, though. What we can...
It's cheap.
I mean, with the fact that we're running low on Godzilla movies, you know... This might be the perfect, like, way to...
barrel scrape.
Yeah, this might be a good way to keep that going.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's like, we're going to run out of Godzilla movies at some point, and I'll be like, all right, this is our...
Godzilla Island episode 100th 1.
100th episode, yeah, yeah. And we've already done all the cartoons.
Oh, the Netflix ones?
Yeah, well, I was thinking the Netflix ones, but now I'm thinking like Saturday morning cartoons.
Like Hanna-Barbera Godzuki?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I tried watching those recently.
Fire his head in the sky. Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't hold up.
And then they made a Godzilla cartoon after the Matthew Broderick one.
Oh right.
And there's some sort of King Kong animated show on Netflix.
Oh yeah, it comes up on Netflix too.
I tried to watch it. I didn't finish. I couldn't. It's not for me. All right. Oh, I already. Right. Our next episode. I almost forgot. We're gonna do part two of the Rebirth of Mothra series.
Oh, right.
So, Mothra 2 will be our next episode. So, look forward to that. It should be available on kaijupod.com. I'm
preparing myself for it to be stupid.
Yeah, you know what? I think last time I prepared for the first one to be so bad that I actually was okay with it. It did. It's very 90s, but there was some fun stuff in it. And I think this next Mothra, we get the new design.
Okay, cool.
The kind of sort of sleek version. The one that kind of looks like the Godzilla King of the Monsters version. That movie we saw a few months back. That one. Not the Raymond Burr movie.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I'm excited about that. Sure. Sure. We'll see. It's Mothra. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're not the biggest Mothra fan, and I'm a way bigger Mothra fan, but, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Mothra's growing on me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, we haven't done Godzilla versus Mothra.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I have. Until next time. You know, I'm not even going to do in the universe. I'm going to go make myself a steaming man costume. That's what I'm doing.
Till next time. Damn. Oh, but not in the universe. I'm just going to destroy some models.
Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, and we've seen that type of implosion destruction, that kind of destruction where it's like the bottom drops out. But it's always kind of been like landscapes and valleys, but to do like a full city is so good.
Yeah. I know, it's cool seeing actual tanks drive through an actual city, which was rare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually you see them just driving through the same hills and trees.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Let's go. Let's go watch Mothra.
Good luck with that suit.
Yeah. I'm halfway done already. All I needed to do was wrap some duct tape around my head.
Mm-hmm.
All right.